Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hear me okay?
Yep.
Awesome.
Yeah, today.
Awesome. Trying to make sure you could. Frog walks into a bank and approaches a teller. You can see from her name is Patricia Wack. She says, "Ms. Wack, I'd like to get a loan to buy a boat and go on a long vacation." Patty stares at the talking frog in disbelief, but recovers herself quite quickly and asks how much she'd like to borrow. Frog says, $30,000. Teller asks for his name, and the frog says his name is Kermit Jagger. Dad's Mick Jagger. And that is okay. He knows the bank manager. Patty explains that $30,000 is a substantial amount of money and that he will need to secure some collateral against the loan. She asks if he has anything he can use as collateral. The frog says, "Sure, I have this." It produces a tiny porcelain elephant, about an inch tall, bright blue, and perfectly formed. Very confused, Patty explains that she'll have to consult with the manager and disappears in the back office. She finds the manager and says, I'm confused. There's this frog named Kermit Jagger out there who claims to know you and wants to borrow $30,000. He wants to use this as collateral." She holds this up, this tiny blue elephant, and I mean, what the heck is this anyway? Bank manager looks back at her and says, "It's a knick-knack, Patty Wack. Give the frog a loan. His old man's a Rolling Stone."
Oh, that's perfect.
All right. Let me bring that to question. How many of you like that joke? Oh, cool. Yes. That's not the real question, though, but that's cool. You like that. That's awesome. Woohoo. What's that? Here's the real question. Here's the real question. What?
Nothing.
How many advertisements are you exposed to on any given day?
Way too many.
Way too many. Take a guess.
1,000.
1,000, okay. Anybody else?
500.
675.
Okay. What?
675.
675. This is the Price is Right.
Yeah,
it's like, yeah, this is the Price is Right. Yeah, who goes over?
$1.
Do we win a prize?
Push the past few months.
Well, there's an article that was written in 2007. Now think about that. That was before Instagram.
Wait a minute.
Facebook was just a few years old.
I thought you were talking about today.
I'll get there too.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm just letting you know that this. I'll get to today. Just relax. Don't get at me. The article said that in 2007, we were exposed to. Are you ready for this? Mm-hmm. About 10,000 advertisements in any given day. Or about 5,000, brother. I'm sorry. So double that today. About 10,000 today. So 5,000 in 2007. About 10,000 today in 2023. I mean, think about it. I mean, think about it. Yeah, you're 10% there, Sean. You're way off, but that's fine. I mean, think about it. You know, you've got, you know, Facebook now, and you go to Facebook and you go to Google something, and you try to find something. You know, I want a new watch, and then you go to look at your Facebook post. Also, what do you see?
Watches.
Ads. Pull up with ad after ad after ad of different kinds of watches, and so don't tell me they don't know what's going on. They do, but you know, so that's one. Then you got your bloggers and you got your influencers that try and get the 50 minutes of fame and your 30 minutes of attention. That just so 10,000 advertisements on any single day. I mean, think about that. And just in case you're wondering, seeing those advertisements is not all good news.
Right.
As a matter of fact, another study shows that the more ads we see, the more advertisements we see, the less miserable we are. Now, why is that? Because truth is, every waking moment we have, we're always reminded of what we don't have. What we think we need to be happy. And so for that 10,000 ads a day, we get reminded all the time of what we wish we had or think we need. And so it becomes miserable because we don't measure up to what our culture tells us we need. And the prevalent message of most of the ads is that to be happy, you have to get more. You have to accumulate things. And you can't have the good life without having all the other stuff. That's the culture we live in. You know, you can't have the good life without having that new, you know, technological advance, or that new purse or whatever, and those fashionable shoes. And so we just go through, our culture just screams at us over and over again that it's more blessed to get than it is to receive. It's more blessed to accumulate. That's what our culture tells us. 10,000 times a day, it's shouted from the mountaintop, it's more blessed to get. Jesus had a very countercultural message. In Acts 20, we read this. I've left you an example of how you should serve and take care of those who are weak. For we must always cherish the words of our Lord Jesus, who taught, giving brings a far greater blessing than receiving. Jesus taught what? Giving brings a far greater blessing than receiving. We've all heard that phrase. It's, you know, more blessed to give than to receive. Now, I might add, I might dare say that young kids would argue that fact. They love to get. And who does? I mean, honestly, let's all face it. Who doesn't love to get things? We all love to get things. We all love to receive. But it is more blessed, nonetheless,
to give
than it is to receive. The word in the Greek that's translated as blessed is a word that's it's makarios. Makarios. And I'm probably, you know, not doing the Greek really well, but that's the word. And it means supremely blessed, fortunate, not just happy, but happier. Simply put, you're more joyful when you give. You're more fulfilled when you give. You're more blessed when you give than you are when you receive. And so today I'm going to share a message that on the topic of giving, I don't usually share too much on this, but it's going to be shared today. And let me just start by saying this. I believe most of you would love to give more.
Yes.
But you feel like you can't. You feel like... And I must admit, I felt that myself. You just can't right now do more. You would like to give more, but don't feel like you can. Ever feel that way?
Yes.
Let me just say this. I'm not sharing this message to make you feel like you need to give more. That we need you to give more. That's not the purpose of this message at all. None of that. I'm not going to stand and give you promises of, you know, if you give more, God will bless you more. I'm not going to give you a promise that if you give more, God's going to give you a house in the lake. He might, but he might not. A lot of times that's just a heart issue and a motivation issue. I mean, he might bless you and give you that kind of desire of your heart, but it's a lot of times a motivation of the heart. And that's what I want to talk about today more than anything else is that. That's the case. But what I will say this before I get started, that is, I truly believe God wants to bless His children so that we can be a blessing to others.
Yeah.
That's the motive. That's the purpose. That's the plan. That God, I truly believe God wants to bless the church and the body of Christ and the believers of and sons and daughters, that they can be a blessing to others. And in this series, we have been looking at the power of our decisions. And we have looked at a few things that we need to determine in advance. figure out before the situation happens. Determine in advance. Decide today so that we're not sideswiped and blindsided by our tomorrows. Amen? And I mentioned that the problem that for many of us, however, is that we're just not very good decision makers. You know, we often make decisions in the emotions of it all. And it's funny, I mentioned last week, remember the Kirby vacuum cleaner example I used?
Yes.
So I went to my boss and was telling him, you know, just talking to Chris about my message and stuff. And I used that, said, yeah, I used this little shit about the Kirby. He goes, I got a Kirby. Like, guilty. Like, you know, it's like, yeah, it's like, you know, it's like, you know, he said, they come to the house, I had a shark. I says, yeah, I said, you know, and he says, I had a shark. I says, I'd come to the house, and he says, they came to my house, and you know, I saw them how they try to wear you down and stuff. And it's like, came to my house, and I had just vacuumed the shark, and he, you know, guy came in and had me vacuumed the shark a couple times. He's going over like 100 times. So Chris is going, 100 times, he's counting, you know, 1, 2, 3. He says, now watch this. Hooks up that Kirby and sucks up more dirt. And his wife says, oh, I got to have it. His kids are like, Dad, let's get it. He says, it's still really heavy. It's like, you know, I bought mine like 35 years ago, whatever it was. But he says, they're still heavy. They haven't really advanced on that too much. But they do really good job. But anyway, so it's kind of funny just, you know, talk about that, you know, how many people need to, you learn, ooh, I've got one of those. It's kind of funny. How just... it all just a small world. So we talked about having better decisions. I mentioned, you know, that we're not very good makers a lot of times, but what I'm trying to teach is that instead of waiting until we're in the heat of the moment and setting our emotions drive us, let them drive us, we're instead determining in advance to seek God today. So that when we're faced with something, when, you know, something happens, we've already thought about it, we've already prayed about it, we've asked God about it, we have some kind of plan of action already in place today, so that when life hits us tomorrow, we can better respond with better decisions. That's the whole premise of what I'm trying to share with you over these next few weeks. And let me just briefly remind you of what we looked at so far in this series. In week one, we just looked at learning to make wiser, better decisions. Week two, we looked at being ready because we have an enemy that is trying to steal, kill, and destroy everything and anything that God has for us and the destiny that God has in store for us. He's trying to come and steal it. Week three, we talked about being consistent in our Bible reading, our prayer, and our disciplines, our spiritual disciplines. And then last week, we talked about being devoted. And so this week, I just want to share determining today to be more generous. More generous. And I'm talking about a lifestyle, not just a Sunday morning type of generosity. I'm also not talking about monetary alone, although that is my focus for today. Generosity is more than just monetary, but I want to really emphasize that today more than that's my focus. We're going to determine in advance to live extravagantly generous. That is a big lifestyle, don't you? Why do we need to determine that in advance? Because when life hits us, when life comes, we're tempted to be anything but generous a lot of times. And so you have to decide ahead of time. You have to decide no matter what storms may come, I'm always going to be generous. It's just what you have to decide. And giving, just like I mentioned last week, with like being devoted, it's not something you just stumbled upon. It's not something you just happened to, you know, just by accident, oop, I'm generous today. It's not, you wake up one day and go, oop, look at me. You know, it's not like Scrooge in A Christmas Carol. It just doesn't work that way. For most of us. Now, sometimes God does do things. He's done things in my heart. Because trust me, I've not, and I'll say this again in my message, I'm sure, but I've not always been the most generous person. I mean, there's times I was selfish. There's times that, you know, it was me, all me, and, you know, bless me, my family, us four, no more type mentality. So I've not always been generous. And so I've got, you know, I want you to stand on that. I'm speaking to myself today too. I believe, I think God's finally got me to the place where I can say to my, I can honestly say to me, you know, to people around me, I'm generous. But, you know, I've not always been that way. So I'm not trying to bombard you with that, by no means. No one has ever just, you know, by chance stumbled into giving offerings or paying the rent for a neighbor or someone's in need or help or, you know, buying a meal for someone or, you know, making sure that, you know, the waiter waitress gets a good tip. You just stumble upon that. Let me just pause real quick for that and talk about that tip thing. I have always been a generous tipper. Always. Now, partly because I had family members that were waiters and waitresses and, you know, I know that, how they have to survive. So I've always been a generous tipper. I don't care if the food was cold. I don't care if the stuff if the staff was rude. I don't care if it wasn't exactly what I ordered. I've always tipped well. Now, if they're really good, I might tip exceptionally well.
That's right.
But I've always tipped well, no matter what. And let me tell you why. It's simply like this. I will oftentimes, when I'm in a restaurant, I'll ask a waiter or waitress, can I pray for them? We'll have conversation. We'll find out that I'm a believer. And, you know, I've given prophetic words to some in restaurants. And I'm an ambassador for Christ. You're an ambassador for Christ. And so even when I think they don't deserve it, I think, you know what? I didn't deserve his generous grace either.
That's right.
And I don't, so as an ambassador of Christ, I want to just let us know about Jesus. I want to let others know that God has richly blessed me so I can be a blessing. And in so doing, I have had waiters actually run out of the restaurant as I'm walking my car to get in the car with my family in tears saying, thank you, thank you, thank you. And they missed my son's meal until we're halfway through ours. They never brought out his meal until I reminded them when we're halfway through ours. Oh, by the way, you forgot. I still bless them in spite of that. So as an ambassador for Christ, I simply want to represent him well. Does that make sense? Now back to my message. No one ever stumbles, as I mentioned, into generosity. I've heard so many people say, I want to be more generous, but, and you know the rest. When I have more, I'll give more. Ever heard that? Ever say that? And I dare say, no, you won't. I'm not trying to be harsh or trying to be unsympathetic. I'm not trying to do that. I just understand that generosity it's not about what you have or don't have. Generosity is all about the heart. It's all about the heart. And generosity goes beyond just giving. It's a character of the heart. It's you know, being kind and generous with time and resources and money and whatever. It's freedom from pettiness and character and mind. That's the definition of generous. And that's nothing that you already don't know. I mean, think about it. You've met people that, you know, don't have much, that really they struggle from paycheck to paycheck. That you might even consider them poor, and yet they can be really stingy. You've met that same class of folk that can be giving you the shirt off their back and be real generous. You've seen rich people the same way, rich folk that you couldn't squeeze nothing out of them if you tried. There's the others that are rich that have just generosity, extraordinary, extravagant, wild generosity. That's what they do. And so it's a hard issue. It's something that you just have to understand and you live. And I've learned that money doesn't change people. It just brings up more of their character. So we're going to determine in advance to be generous. Now. Because if we're not generous now, chances are we'll be generous later. In fact, Jesus told a parable, and it illustrates so much more than what I'm talking about, but it also illustrates what I'm talking about. It's found in Luke chapter 12. And then there was a rich young man who had a big harvest. And so the rich guy just kept on getting richer. His harvest kept getting larger and larger and larger. And so he starts thinking, where am I going to put all this stuff? Where am I going to just store all this stuff? I don't have room to store it. Where am I going to put all this? And let me just start telling you what he didn't do, what he didn't say. He didn't say, you know what? I have so much more than I need. I have so much more than my last harvest, and so I think it's time for me just to be extraordinary, extravagantly generous. I think it's time for me just to, let it go. I'm gonna share with my neighbors, help out my company down the street. I'm gonna help out, give some of my laborers. I'm gonna, fund my church building project. I'm gonna just, help single moms. I'm gonna be a huge blessing to people around me and help people go to college and started saving up for my children's children. He didn't say that. What the rich guy did, what the rich man decided to do was not that at all. He did what he'd done before. It's found in Luke chapter 12, verse 18 and 19. It says this. I know what I'll do. I'll tear down the barns and build one massive barn that will hold all my grain and goods. Then I can sit back, surround with comfort and ease. I'll enjoy life with no worries at all. He said, I'm all taken care of. I have accumulated stuff. I've accumulated everything I need, and I'm set for life. That's what he said. I'll just sit back and enjoy my accomplishments. And I'll probably say this again, but let me just pause and tell you, I'm not saying you don't plan for the future. You do. Okay, you need to plan for the future. I'm not saying live a life without nothing to show for it. I say that because there's been a teaching about you, Christ, I think that has really been misrepresented for sure, destructive maybe even. And that is, you've got there's two sides of that story. One side says, if you give your 10% or whatever it is, God's going to bless you beyond me, and you're just going to be blessed more than anybody else. Again, that may or may not happen, but it's a motive of the heart. That's one side. It's called the prosperity gospel. You've maybe heard of it. Give and trust me, if you give, God's going to give you. I don't question it at all.
Praise the Lord.
God will do that. He desires, he wants us to do that. But the prosperity gospel is you give and all your wishes are granted. Rub your genie and it's all come into play. That's the prosperity gospel. You have the other side that have people say, unless you have nothing, you can't even honor God. I don't believe that for a moment either. I'm not saying I don't believe for a moment God wants to live in poverty or anything. I don't believe that for a moment. But I want you to understand something. It's more than just, it's a hardship. It's something that we've got to understand, that if you give, God will bless you, no doubt about it. But I want you to realize that you need to plan for your future. You need to plan for the things that are going on so that you can live off in the future.
That's right.
Okay? But the truth is, I believe God will bless, wants to bless, when we live a life of generosity. He truly wants to bless us so we can be a blessing to others. Truly does. But for some, God needs to hold back all he desires to give, because honestly, if he blessed us too much, it would ruin us. Because we have been faithful with the little things. We haven't stewarded well when he's given us the little things. Is how do we expect and trust us with much? And so we've got to understand that we got to do what we have, steward what we have well. To much is given, much shall be required, Scripture talks about. Money is not bad. We need to survive. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
Here's what Timothy says. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10, he says, loving money is the first step toward all kinds of trouble. Some people run after it so much that they have given up their faith. Craving more money pushes them away from the faith into error, compounding misery in their lives. Loving money is the problem. And for some, money has become their god, small g. Their life support. It's their trust. They trust in what their dollar. And if you have trust in anything over God, it's an idol. And if you have trust in money, it has potential, according to Timothy, to stunt your growth with Jesus. Okay? And so for the reason why this rich man did what he did, always had done, was he had a love of money, of stuff, accumulation, of his harvest. And the truth is, more money doesn't make you more generous. And he had a love of money. There's another story, and we read about in Matthew chapter 19, it says this. Jesus said to them, if you really want to be perfect, go immediately and sell everything you own, give all your money to the poor, and your treasure will be transferred into heaven. Then come back and follow me for the rest of your life. When the young man heard these words, he walked away angry. He was extremely wealthy. His love for money really stopped his pursuit of Jesus. And so we understand that. Jesus didn't tell everybody to go sell the money, sell everything they have. He didn't say go give it all away. He didn't tell that to too many people at all. This way, Diggs, he understood. His heart said, I need. I need to accumulate more. I need to do more. I need to have more. And so he understood. So Jesus tried to say, listen, if you want to follow me, learn to just let everything be rest in me. It will work out better. It's better that way. It'll do more. And understand, church, more money just makes more of what you already are. More money doesn't change who you are, it just reveals who you are. That's the point I want to just try to drive home today. If you want to be generous when you have more, learn to be generous when you have less. I always have given to church, always. Always. And truthfully, I didn't always have it to give. And I often felt like I couldn't give. And when I worked at JWI, I was there, and one of the guys we were talking about that. I didn't make tons of money back then. I just didn't, make, not that I make tons of money now, but I made a whole lot less than. And we, we lived on groceries of very little a week because I didn't make much a week. And so, I would still give my 10% plus to church. And I had somebody ask me, I said, how can you afford that? I said, I can't afford not to. Amen. Jesus is 90 cents for so much more than my dollar ever would. I mean, he just does that. And when I got laid off from a job, that was after that. I got laid off from a job, and we lived on 11th Street. And I didn't, I was living on unemployment then. As a matter of fact, they had the apartment telling my landlord how much I made, and we get a church, and so he lowered the rent so we could actually afford the apartment to begin with. And so I got laid off from my job, and by mere coincidence, I'm sure God had nothing to do with it. I'm sure it's mere coincidence. The people downstairs had moved out just as I got laid off. My landlord hired me to paint the downstairs so I could get all ready. He paid me more than my job was actually making. So I got paid unemployment plus more than my job was making to redo that, do the house for a couple months. We actually lived like almost rent free. I'm sure God is through that, right?
Yeah.
Because why? Because I just lived with general. I just lived understanding I've got to, I can't afford not to give because he's given so much. I mean, he gave everything. Think about it. He sent his only son. And Jesus came and died for us. I can't afford not to say, Lord, here you are. Send me too. Here I am. Give. I'll do what I can. And listen, I'm not saying don't, you know, give everything you have so you don't have anything for your family. I'm not saying that. Don't get that message. I'm not trying to say that, but I'm just saying live generous. Have a heart that just is willing to give. And when you do with the right motive or the right time, he'll take care of it. So what I want to do today is I want to help you do what I believe many of you want to do. Because I know that all God's people really want to be generous. At least you should. So I'm going to assume you're in that little category there. It's just something, just sometimes feel that we just can't. And so I want to just give you a couple of principles. I think generous people do. Generous people have. And today my prayer is that you will determine in advance, determine today, decide today that I'm giving is not just going to be something that I do, but being generous to who I am. Does that make sense? Is that fair? Two qualities of generous people. Number one, generous people plan to be generous. Generous people plan to be generous. But wait, Pastor, I thought, you know, generous was just, you know, you see that guy on the side of the road with the sign holding up, you know, help me, you know, for food, you know, work for food. So you just, you know, give him something or you're, you know, I thought that was generosity. I thought that, you know, just randomly helping somebody out or you buy someone's groceries because you prompted to, you know, Lord led you to do that. And so you just do that. Or I thought maybe it's just that spontaneous thing of, you know, paying for that meal of the person behind you and at McDonald's at the drive through. And so you just, you know, that's being generous. No, that's simply giving. And listen, I thought, you know, that you might think that's generosity, but there's something more. The truth is that's how most of us give. We feel led, so we just do it. You know, we feel like, you know, God's speaking to us, so we just do it. That's how most of us do things. Amen? I've done that. So I do things a lot of times. And listen, you need to do that. You know, you hear something and you hear God talk to you about something and feel led to do something. You need to do that. Don't miss that opportunity.
Right.
Don't miss that opportunity.
Right.
You watch the Jerry Lewis telethon and you send in your help. You see those poor children on TV and you just send in your help and you see some fundraiser and some, you know, you go to this fundraising event and some motivational speaker pops up the mic and tries to inspire you to give. Or worse yet, a pastor of a church tries to guilt you into giving. Listen, never, ever, 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 ever give out of guilt. Ever. I don't care who it is. You never give out of guilt because listen, when you give out of guilt, you're not benefiting anybody.
That's right.
That's not generosity. If you give out of bitterness and anger and frustration and then you're not blessing yourself or the receiver. It's just that simple. Don't ever give out of guilt. Listen, that's not what I'm here to do. Is guilt you into giving more? That's I'm telling you, don't do that. Okay? Did you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Don't do
that.
With all those things I mentioned, those things are simply giving. They're not necessarily generosity. And giving is good. We need to give. We should give. I do it often. But giving is not the same as generosity. Funny story. We were walking around. I believe it's Boston. That's not the funny part. But we were walking around, I think it's Boston, we're just walking around, and you know how you get these homeless people that just on the side of the road, they have their signs that, you know, say, you know, work for food, or, you know, help me please, I'm hungry, whatever. So we're walking through Boston with the family, and I see this guy, and he's holding up his sign, but his sign didn't say that. This is the funny part. His sign was, I mean, honestly, I appreciate his honesty, I admired his honesty, but his sign said, "Help me get drunk tonight." Now listen, I wasn't generous, nor was I giving. But the point was, you know, that we have to understand that, you know, I just think it's kind of funny that he was honest to do it. I didn't see a lot of money in there, but yeah, he's being honest. And I mean, he's not trying to lie to get money. He's just, I mean, I admire for that. But here's the difference between generosity and giving. Generous people don't need to be guilted to give. They don't have to be inspired to give. Generous people don't just give whenever they see a need or whenever they, you know, feel led. They just live a life of giving. Of giving, that's all. They just do it. They don't just give whenever they're prompted to or felt led to or you know, moved by the Spirit to. Although don't miss those opportunities. I mean, still do those things, amen?
Amen.
But generous people just give. They have a plan to give. Look what the prophet Isaiah told us in Scripture. He said this in Isaiah 32:8. But generous people plan to do what is generous, and they stand firm in their generosity. Woo! Generous people plan to do what is generous, and they stand firm in their generosity.
Preach it.
I'm not waiting until I have more. I'm not making excuses of why I can't. I'm just giving because generous is who I am. The generous plan to do what's generous. They have determined in advance to stand firm in their generosity. Now, I find it rather funny that when it comes to finances, most of us have a plan. Now, maybe you're thinking, no, I don't. Well, yes, you do. It may not be written down the budget. It may not be written down every month of what you do. But trust me, if there's something in the store you want, you'll do all the research on it. You'll find out what the best model is. I mean, you're looking at where I get the best deal. I mean, you plan to be responsible enough to do the research on that thing. So it's like you do a plan. It's just not necessarily what you think is a plan. So you have a plan. Most of us, when it comes to finances, we have a plan. And generous people, they have a plan. In fact, when you become generous by nature, and by that I mean you just have this desire to design your life around being generous. It's a mindset that you're prayerfully asking God, how can we make a difference in the world around us? How can I, you know, be the blessed people that I know and I see and, you know, that I come upon? How can I be a blessing? It's not just sometimes. Sometimes you will. But it's not just always spontaneous. Sometimes it is, sometimes it's not. But it's more intentional. I just want to be generous. So we have determined in advance. I have determined in advance to give a very generous tip anytime I go out. Bad service doesn't matter. Bad food doesn't matter. I've determined I want the staff to be blessed. And so I want to be a blessing. And listen, it's you know, I want to be able to say, if I go to a restaurant in town, I want the waiter staff to just say, I want his table. Because he blesses me. Not, oh, please somebody else take it. He doesn't even care what I do. I mean, I really, why do I do that? I do it because of this. Proverbs 22:1 says this. A good name is more desirable than great riches. To be esteemed is better than silver or gold. I want a good name. I want people to say, I want his table. He blesses me. I want to make sure that I take care of him because he takes care of me. I mean, my name means more to me than my riches. And here's what happens so often. Because we live in this instant gratification culture, with the Burger King mentality, you know, the one that has my way, I'll have it your way. All because culture teaches us that stuff is what really matters. In the words of Will Smith, we spend more than we have to please to impress people we don't even like. Yeah. Because we spend more than we have, we worry about money more. And even if we want to be generous with our money, we can't because we will worry more. And it's this vicious cycle. And in church, what we need to understand is this. It's not just a money problem, it's a spiritual problem.
That's right.
We're trusting in things rather than in God and what God says about the things. And generous people break the cycle. Not accidentally, but strategically and intentionally. Matthew 6. They do it by doing what Jesus said. And this is what he said in Matthew 6. He said this. So above all, constantly chase after the realm of God's kingdom and the righteousness that proceeds from him. Then all these less important things will be given to you abundantly. Refuse to worry about tomorrow, but deal with each challenge that comes your way one day at a time. Tomorrow will take care of itself.
That's right.
Not seek first the shoes, or seek first the car, or seek first, you know, the wife, or, you know, whatever. Seek first the kingdom of God.
That's right.
And his righteousness. And all the other less important, no, they're still important, but the less important things will be added to you, given to you in what?
Abundance.
Listen, I have some nice things. Decent house, nice car, yes, Randy's a Ford. Whatever. And so, you know, I mean, it's like whatever, but, you know, but I try to remember to honor God first.
That's all right. Amen.
I try to seek God first. And church, hear this. I know you've heard about giving the 10%, and I give at least that. But I'm talking about just giving 10%. Look what Scripture tells us in 2 Corinthians 9. So verse 6, it says this. Reading through verse 11. Here's my point. A stingy sower will reap a meager harvest, but the one who sows from a generous spirit will reap an abundant harvest. Let giving flow from your heart, not from a sense of religious duty. Let it spring up freely from the joy of giving, all because God loves hilarious generosity. Yes, God is more than ready to overwhelm you with every form of grace so that you will have more than enough of everything, every moment and in every way. He will make you overflow with abundance in every good thing you do. Verse 9, just as the scripture says, you're saying, about the one who trusts in him, because he has sown extravagantly and given to the poor, his kindness and generous deeds will never, never be forgotten. This generous God who supplies abundant seed for the farmer, which becomes bread for our meals, is even more extravagant towards you. First, he supplies every need plus more. Then he multiplies the seed as you sow it, so that the harvest of your generosity will grow. You will be abundantly enriched in every way as you give generously on every occasion. For when we take your gifts to those in need, it causes many to give God thanks. Here's the church. This is not the prosperity gospel. I've talked about that. It's not the prosperity gospel. I heard way too much of that. You know, if you give, God will give you 10%. If you give 10%, he'll give you, into your bank account, he'll make you rich. And he might, but he might not. A lot depends on your motivation. And if you feel guilt into giving, you're gonna get bitter, angry, and frustrated, and upset, and that's not good for anybody. As a matter of fact, you might just stop giving altogether. To be honest with you, and now here's the truth. I believe God wants to bless you so that you can be a blessing. But he sometimes can't bless the way he wants because you haven't, stewarded well what he's given. I've said that already, but I'll say it again. This isn't prosperity gospel, but the good promises. This is a generosity gospel. Generosity gospel. And here's the difference between the two. And what I'm telling you is God will prove himself faithful. He'll prove himself faithful. He has proved himself faithful to me time and time and time again. Oh. The prosperity gospel says, give and God will make you rich. The generosity gospel says, for God so loved the world that he gave. Big difference between the two, don't you think?
Oh, yeah.
When you seek God first, God supplies. When you put him first, you honor him with and he'll give and give to him. You determine in advance to give to him first. And then God provides, God blesses you, God proves himself faithful, and that builds your faith. And suddenly, rather than just, you know, being worried, you find yourself simply living a more generous life. You don't even have to have a lot to give a lot.
Sorry.
Giving's not what you do. Generous is what you who you are. It's a mindset that takes place when you, you know, put God first. And let me just also say this. Let me heed your warning. I have learned, and listen, I have lived a life of generosity a lot. I've given cars, I've done things, I've given money I didn't have. I've honored God with everything, and I've helped people that don't ever come to church, that have spoke bad about me. I've done that. So this is the warning. I've learned to be generous, but I also have learned to not the savior and the provider of the world. And I have helped people who, I've also told no to people. Be generous, not foolish. Be generous, not foolish. Amen?
Amen.
That's your warning. Determine today, though, we're not going to give only when it's convenient. We're going to give to God when we have just what's left over. Give to God when you give God your first and your best. And trust me, he'll bless the rest.
Sorry.
It's a decision. I love some of the Facebook posts you look at. Listen, I know most of them, a lot of them are staged. And, you know, they walk through the store and, you know, I'll give you $20 and we'll buy a verse. Or I'll give you, you know, if you help me, it gives $1,000. A lot of it's staged. I get that. But, you know, but listen, I just think it's, you know, whatever. And listen, and maybe you can't do that. I know most of us can't. But start with just being faithful and giving, you know, here, whatever, you know, just in life. Let God prove himself faithful. Let God prove himself faithful. I promise you he will. Pray for that person in the restaurant or that grocery store. Leave a tip that blesses, and as he blesses, I promise you, if you are generous with the right motivation, he will bless you. That's in his word. That's in his word. He'll bless. Sow, reap. So he does that. I love this. Check this out. Isaiah 55:10-11 says this. As the rain and snow come down from heaven, and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater. So is my word that goes out of my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. When God gives you a word, when God sends a word, when God tells you to help somebody, trust me, if he sent you there and you do what he told you to do and you're obedient to it, he will bless it. His word says he will. How about this one? 2 Corinthians 1:19-20. Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And he is the one with whom Timothy, Silas, and I have preached to you. And he has never been both a yes and a no. He has always been and always will be a resounding yes. For the glory of God, for all God's promises, find their yes of fulfillment in him. And as his yes is our amen, ascend to God, we bring him glory. And God has promised you will reap what you sow. He will prove himself faithful. The second thing, I'm closing pretty quick, that generous people do is this. Generous people don't hold back. They don't receive when they can, when expected. They may be round up is a better way to put it. In fact, I love this verse. It's so rich. Solomon says this in Proverbs 21, 26. He reads this. All day long he craves for more, but the righteous give without sparing. All day long the lazy, the selfish, they crave for more, but the righteous gives without sparing. In other words, he doesn't hold anything back. You see it over and over and over and over and over again in scripture. It's just there. The Good Samaritan's walking down the road and he sees someone and helps him out. And so you know the story. He just takes him, to the plate, to a hotel, and tells the keeper, take care of him, I'll be back. And by the way, if there's anything more, he just walk out to the guy and, you know, takes him, drops him off and says, see you later, wouldn't want to be you, you know, and hope you get better. He doesn't do that. He actually looks at the innkeeper, tells the keeper, listen, if there's anything more I got to do, if there's anything that, if it costs more than what I've given you, you give him two silver coins, if it costs more than this, I'll take care of it when I get back. When I pass through town again, I'll give you the rest. I mean, that's going the second mile. That's, you know, going, that's rounding up. That's doing more than he than expected. More than, I mean, he was expected to help the guy. Actually, a lot of people pass by him. You know the story. And so it's there. And maybe a better story is one I love better yet. It's Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus is just a really good example. He, you know, in case you don't know the story, he was a crook. He took more than taxes than he was supposed to take. He just, you know, that's just what he did. But then he had an encounter with Jesus, with the Savior of the world. He had an encounter with Jesus. He comes down out of the tree, you know, because he's just a wee little man. Wee little man would see, kind of a sickly tree. I mean, you know the story. And so he's up there reading that story. He's going through it. And so he just comes down. He says this to Jesus. Jesus never asked him anything. Just said, all that Jesus said is, I want to come to your house and eat. I want to fellowship with you tonight at your place. That's all Jesus said. That he goes down the tree, knows that Jesus says, listen, if I've cheated anybody, now he knew darn well he had. It's not like he's like, you know, Jesus said, yeah, you did. It's not like he was caught, oh no, I just can't believe it. He didn't do that. Jesus asked him for anything, but Zacchaeus comes down and says, listen, if I've cheated anybody, I'll give them four times the amount that cheated them. Woo! Now he must have invested pretty well to be able to pay a million cheated four times back. I mean, he must have done pretty well with his finances. He must have planned for the future. But the point is, you know, Jesus asked him that. He just volunteered that information. Why? Because he had an encounter with Jesus. He became generous with what he had because he realized there's nothing more. I want to seek first your kingdom, your righteousness, because I know all the little things have been added unto me. I don't know if he knew the word. I don't think he was, you know, heard about the story. I mean, what stories he heard. I don't know what stories he heard. I just knew that when he had encountered Jesus, he realized my heart needed to be changed. And so God changed his heart. God transformed his life. He did everything. Jesus taught this principle. Someone demands you your shirt, give him your designer jacket too. Someone says, go 1 mile, round up, go with them two. So next time you're contemplating, should I give the lesser tip or the bigger tip? Get the bigger, just round up.
That's right.
Someone says, go 1 mile, go two. Just be a blessing. Be a blessing, joy come. That's what generous people do. They determine in advance to be generous. Now listen, church. I don't want you to get the impression that I've always been a generous person. I mentioned that I haven't been. Truth is, you know, that isn't true. The past, I don't know, 15, 20 years, maybe I've learned. 10, maybe it's only 10 years, I don't know. It's just, I mean, I've just learned how to be more generous. It wasn't a money thing with me. It was a spiritual thing with me. I looked at the bank account, and I looked at, you know, what I had. I looked at the lack of what I had, and I'm thinking, I can't. Looked at the empty gas tank and whatever, and I looked at all that instead of what God said. And so here's the thing. If you want to be generous when you have much, then learn to be generous when you have little. Generous is who you are. And when you do that, you're happier, you're more joyful. You're more joyful when you give. But it's never going to be accidental. Generous people plan to do what's generous, and they stand firm in their generosity. We're not waiting till later. We're not making excuses as to why we can't. We stand firm. We've already decided. We plan for it and we round up. Why? Because we serve the most generous God in the world. The most generous God in the universe that gave his only son that we might have life and that more abundantly. That we be generous in all we do and say. So Father, today I come to you. We pray that you would make us a church known for our generosity. God, help each of us to be incredibly generous. Help us to prayerfully and strategically design our life around a spirit of generosity. Papa, help us to start by trusting you more, by putting you first. Give us eyes to see and wisdom to know how to make a difference in the world around us. Help us determine in advance to always, always, always be generous. To be a blessing to others, not just when they deserve it, but in spite of them deserving it. Father, we didn't deserve salvation. We didn't deserve your grace. But you were generous in your mercy and your love. Help us to do the same. Father, let your Spirit speak to us today in a way like only you can. Show us, teach us, help us to lean not on our sins, but always acknowledge you, for you direct our path. And Father, we give you all of the praise, all of the glory, all of the honor, in Jesus' name, and the church said,